94.9 The Rock, GTA's Rock Station. Joining me on the line, I'm Bob, by the way, Richard ZK of a band you might not know a lot about, Emma Great, but you also from a band you probably know a little bit more about, at least, is he's the guitarist from Rammstein. He's talking to me live from Germany today. Thank you so much for taking the time today, and congratulations on a million degrees.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Let's talk about Emma Great. This is not a side project for you. This has been a big commitment. This is your third release. Let's talk about it a little bit. How did this come to be?
Well, you know, if you're playing in a band for 25 years, you kind of feel like there are certain kind of things you cannot do with that band. So for me, starting Emma Great was something to create something that I couldn't put into my main band, Rammstein. So I started, 10 years back, out of curiosity how I could write song and sing on those certain songs. And that's how it all started, actually.
When you're writing music, you kind of just hit on that. How do you know when something's a Rammstein song and when something's an Emma Great song?
Well, in the beginning, I was pretty clear about it. I was really making my decision about what would be for each of their individual projects. But actually, it's changed on this record. For some reason, when you listen to the song called War on the first track on the record, it could also be like a good Rammstein song. On the other hand, we're finishing up the Rammstein record as we speak at the moment. There are some ideas that the band chose that were actually Emma Great tracks. So it's kind of mixing it all up in the end. So I'm not really trying to choose anymore. You know, it's kind of like their song starts to have his own identity and chooses the band he wants to be with.
That's amazing. I like it when the music does the talking for you. Speaking of...
Well, you have to be very sensitive to it, you know?
Absolutely.
Sometimes the song can be very moody, too. You know, if you don't really pay attention, you go kind of in the wrong direction. That's like one of the secrets I learned, like, especially writing music. You have to be very sensitive, you know, what the song will do or what the song will go or what will go. And you kind of... tool to bring it in the way he wants to be, and that's something I learned over years.
That's fascinating. I'm always very fascinated by the process of a band's music, how it comes together, when you know where the ideas come from. I love the fact that you say the songs themselves can be moody. Are some songs easier to write than others?
Of course, you know. As I said, the same with a woman, you know. Yeah, it really depends on the. I actually have a certain kind of a method that I do. I learned that from a painter from New York. I visited him one time in his home, and he had like 10 painting, and he was painting on one, and he stopped for one. And he went to the second one and asked him. He said, "Well, it's for me very important that I have that connection to a certain kind of art." And if I lose the connection, I move to the next. And that's what I do with songs, too. You know, I go in the studio quite regularly. At 12 o'clock is always my time. I enter the studio. And then I open up the song and see if I feel a connection, if the song basically talks to me. And if he doesn't, I close it down and open up the next one. And for sure, of all those ideas I have in my computer, there's one song will talk to me, and I work on the song until I lose the connection.
If you have several things on the go, it's probably almost impossible to have, you know, the musical equivalent of writer's block, I guess.
Well, you know, do you have to blocks for sure? There's like days where you don't feel inspired, or you don't really open up, or other things on your mind that bothers you. So what I do then, like if I don't really feel anything, I just buy some new instruments or some new gear and play around, you know, on the technical stuff. And somehow, if I do that, that brings me into the mood again to write.
That's amazing techniques for a lot of young instrumentalists out there. I really appreciate that. Let's talk about... Go ahead.
I try to write on different kind of instruments, you know. I'm not only writing on guitars. I write on piano, on beats themselves, or like even like sometimes, like I take a song that I really like and try to write a song like that, but on a totally different angle. That also helps sometimes to get somewhere.
That's amazing. Well, and I mean, let's face it. You know, you know this as well as anybody else. You wrote it, but the main band, Rammstein, isn't. You can't pigeonhole that band and that sound into one particular idea, and you can really hear that. And you know, so on this particular album, did songs come from different sources? Did they, traditionally a guitarist, you know, all their songs start on a guitar. On this album, did some of these songs start on different instruments for you?
Yeah, of course. I always play around like with all kinds of different instruments, like guitar, bass, piano, keyboards, you know, or just turn on like a sequence that I like. I mean, all different kind of things. Sometimes actually I do have like watch a movie and there's something there, it's a line that kind of sticks out, and then I write it down, I go in the studio and write around that line. It's just this, I'm trying to be as open as possible to get those things out, you know, and sometimes it works and sometimes, again, like, you know, you have to buy some instruments.
Sometimes if you're lucky enough to have that that ability. Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about our friends Ben Kowalowitz and Ian DeSaw, how they are featured on 1, 2, 3, 4. I assume you've met at festivals. I assume that's how it happened.
That's true. Actually, that's true. And at that point, I didn't really had those guys in mind to collaborate on one of my songs, to be honest. We met them, and it was a pleasure to meet, like, basically we just hang out at an after show party, I guess. And I think it was only Ian that who partied. All of the other bands, they were actually not around. And on that particular song, normally what I do with Emigrate, I write a song, and then again, like the song talks to me and says, like, well, I would love to go in this direction. And I try to bring certain kind of singers in to make the song even better or special or different somehow. And on this particular song, I didn't really have a problem. And then my manager asked me if I would be interested in the collaboration. And I said, like, you know, to be open, that's what I'm trying to do. And try to open up in every kind of angles, basically. And I said, let's try doing that. And when I was listening to what he was doing, I realized, wow, he brought so much more to the song, especially his voice has a certain kind of energy, like,
sure,
this, almost like a spitfire. You know,
he
brought that song more alive than I could have done. So when he put his voices on there, I realized, well, this is now my life track I want to visualize in a music video, and to visualize like kind of live performance. He actually brought that kind of thing out of his.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. You know, I mean, we've been fans of Billy Talent here in Canada for a long time. A Spitfire is a great analogy to his voice and the energy that Ben brings on stage.
And then, actually, to be honest, like, I asked him, like, they were on tour, and I asked him, like, listen, like, I want to do a live video because that's what I think we should do. And they were like, of course, let's do that. So we met, like, in Los Angeles, and I think it was South Central, like something very dangerous. And we were like shooting in a warehouse where we had like 45 degrees Celsius, by the way, on Fahrenheit. It was so hot. And those guys, they were just so on it. They weren't complaining. They were just so cool and humble. And I'm so proud and I'm so happy that I actually chose to work with those guys. I mean, that's for me what Emigrate is all about. You know, I'm living in a band for 25 years in Rammstein, that is actually very close universe. Emigrate gives me the possibility, especially, to work with those people, which you don't really can do if you're staying in a band. You can't really tell your singer, listen, I think this song is better for another voice. You know, it would like kick my ass, basically.
Yeah, I get, you know, and Rammstein fans have certain expectations of the band.
Of course, you know, and that's. But, like, you know, in the beginning when I started Emigrate, a lot of fans were thinking, like, wow, that's the end of Rammstein. But it's actually what I was trying to explain. Like, Emigrate is the balance that I need to stay in Rammstein, you know? It's like I need to get certain kind of stuff out, and I tried that in Rammstein. That was too much. And Emigrate is, for me, the best balance to have that in my life. So For me, those two projects, they coexist. And it's very clear that it's a main... It's like kind of like, you know, you have a main woman and you have a lover on the side.
Yeah, sure. I have no idea what you're talking about. My wife might be listening.
Okay, I'm stopping.
Richard ZK of Emma Great, A Million Degrees comes out tomorrow, November 30th. Sir, you're a true artist and a pleasure to speak to. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us here in Toronto.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Richard. I hope all is well. Hopefully, if you get to tour Canada, we'd love to see you come by.
Well, we definitely come by with Rammstein either next year or the following year.
Oh, good to hear. Excellent.